to another edition of NGO Forum, a 25-minute radio program on Star Radio that highlights activities of local and international NGOs in the country. The program also looks at the impact of the activities of the NGOs on the lives of the people. In this edition, two executives of Life Water International are visiting Liberia, and the executive director of the Liberia Agency for Community Empowerment will be explaining their project activities plus more coming up in this edition. I am the producer presenter in the panel. Please be tuned. Life Water Liberia is a national non-governmental organization helping Liberia people with safe drinking water. Two of Life Water Liberia international staffs are presently in the country. The guests include President of Life Water Canada, James Jeros, and the Office Administrator of Life Water International, Combat Hurting. While in the country, they will also assist their local partner with a training program. The delegation has been explaining more about their mission while in the country, beginning with Jim Jeros.
The mission on this trip is to continue what we began in 1995, which is to work side by side with the Liberian people, to build up the capacity and the capability of the Liberian people to help rebuild this nation.
Can you give me a brief history of Life Water International?
Life Water Liberia Incorporated, Life Water International, Life Water Canada. They all have a same vision, and they were founded by a man named Bill Ash back in the 1970s, who was working in the United States, and he started to see the need for safe water in many nations. And he went and helped, and then some of his friends came and stood beside him and helped him also. And then other people started to come. And that is how Life Water International finally got started, was many people from the United States and Canada who desired to share the love of God with those in need by helping with skills and finances, help those in need for safe water, help those in need for sanitation, help those in need for health and hygiene training. And so we began working here in Liberia, 1995. That's also when Life Water Canada started, with the same mission that we share with Life Water Liberia and Life Water International. It is like a group of partners cooperating to help rebuild Liberia with safe drinking water for everybody, with sanitation for schools and clinics and homes, and for health and hygiene training to make sure people can make water safe, and to make sure people know what to do when children get running stomach.
Are you achieving in that direction?
Absolutely, and I must say what we have been achieving is by the power of God, because when I came to Liberia for the first time in 1995, things was tough here. And my plan and my vision was to flee this country and never return. And the Lord put a burden on my heart that did not allow me to flee. And so I had to return, and I came back in 96 and have continued to return. And this is now my eighth trip. When we first started, when things were hard and the rebels came and they stole everything, and we started again and things were destroyed and we started again. And now we are getting close to where in February we will be celebrating our 200th borehole and hand pump planting in this nation. That is not work that I have done with my hands. That is work that Liberian men and women have done with their hands. And we have provided training and we have helped provide equipment, but it's Liberians rebuilding Liberia.
Jay, how do you find it working in a conflict country?
At times it's been really scary. On this trip is the first one I took any of my children along. My daughter Hannah, 15 years old, is here for the first time, because this is the first time I have felt safe enough to bring one of my children here to Liberia. And that to me is a real encouragement. There have been times in 95 or in 96 and I was not sure sometimes if I would come through. And I think I had just a little taste of what many of the Liberian people had. But it was enough to shake me to my boots.
Since your return, the visit you are currently undergoing, and I guess you have visited some of your targeted communities, what are some of the plight or have you observed about the community's members?
Well, one of the real encouraging things for me is when we first started to come around VOA, was tremendous amount of people, Horton Farm, many IDP camps, and that the IDP camps have been emptied and the people are returning to the villages. And so the plight we see now is different than what we saw before. The plight now is people striving to try to rebuild a normal life and rebuild a healthy community. And for that, there is little resources because so many jobs fled the country, so much was destroyed. And so my concern for this country is how do we work together to build an economy, build sustainable jobs so when children graduate from school, they have jobs to go to. And that the villages, as they are building and growing, has water that will not cause the little babies to die from running stomach. And that the schools have latrines so the children don't have to go up the road or in the bush.
How many countries are you presently working with the people?
Well, perhaps when you talk later in the program with Sister Kumba, she can speak to that better, as I am representing Lifewater Canada. And Lifewater Canada, our primary focus is here helping the people of Liberia. That is one of the primary reasons Lifewater Canada was formed, was to allow families and companies in Canada who were moved by God to help the people of Liberia. It gave them a doorway to do that.
Kumba, you are welcome to NGO Forum.
Thank you.
Tell me about your mission.
Our mission here, or my mission, was to come and encourage the staff of Lifewater Liberia, and also to offer any additional training or expertise I may have. I myself have been pleasantly surprised by the level of professionalism with the staff, and I'm finding that my evaluations of everything that they've been doing since I was here in 2004 is outstanding. I'm very impressed with the job level. The staff here at Lifewater Liberia, they are just doing an amazing job. You can tell they have a real heart for the people of Liberia, and they are doing everything they can to help with safe water.
In your training exercise, who do you target as your beneficiary?
It varies. We do target schools an awful lot, and so the younger children, because we have seen that when the younger children learn the hygiene and sanitation guidelines, that they teach their parents, and then the whole family is healthier. Also, at the schools is a place that they often put in the hand pumps, drill the wells, because of the need is so great there.
At the level of the training in the workshop, what are some of the basic issues do you actually discuss?
Well, in the hygiene, health and hygiene workshop, one of the basic things we talk about is ORS, or oral rehydration solution. So we actually teach that you can make the ORS yourself. You don't have to buy it in the market, with just a little bit of sugar and a little bit of salt and clean, safe water.
Women and men, which one do you prioritize in your program?
Well, I think most of the time we teach to the women, because then they teach to their children and to their husbands. But actually, we talk about the whole family.
How many countries can we now talk about Lifewater International is presently working?
Lifewater International is in quite a few countries all over Africa, although we're not in Sudan and Chad right now, and in Asia. And then a little bit of work in Latin America also.
Kumba, is there anything extra on your mind you want to talk about your project?
Just that it's obvious to me that the people here at Lifewater Liberia are actually really focused on the people of Liberia and helping them and giving all the glory to God in the process.
One thing that I would like to say that we appreciate so much about the workers of Lifewater Liberia Incorporated is that some NGOs, some UN, are high paid. And Sister Kumba was talking about the people of Lifewater Liberia Incorporated having a real heart for the people. They are doing this work because they have a passion for it. They are not doing this work because they have high pay. They have low pay compared to many other companies, many other NGOs, many other big organizations. But they persevere because this is a Liberian company run by Liberians for the people of Liberia, and it is a way to share God's love. And that passion is what drives them to continue, and with the blessing of God has enabled them to succeed.
That was the president of Lifewater Canada, Jean Jeros, and the office administrator, Kumba Hurtem, of Lifewater International, explaining about their mission and activities of Lifewater International. Lifewater Liberia project coordinator is David Walu. Mr. Walu explains how Lifewater Liberia has been working with beneficiaries in rural communities.
Well, since the inception of Lifewater Liberia, since 1995, we have worked in so many targeted communities. Not only community, but the various counties. We have gone to Nimba, Bong, Kipma, Grand Bazaar, Monserrato, Mangibi. We are working in those communities.
So how do you find working in those communities?
Well, sometimes it's not easy, but we ourselves have to make it easier because we are working with the people. We have to teach them, talk to them about their own health and hygiene. We talk to them about their own well-being. And that way they will appreciate our work. But it needs a lot of teaching, it needs a lot of talking, it needs a lot of encouragement.
Is it that you also find problem with people understanding the work of NGO?
Well, probably some may not understand, even in the village or most a civilized community. They just think that NGO is just it's an organization that has a bunch of money and going to work. But also, it's sacrifices that people work for NGO are making. So we have to tell them, though, this is an NGO, but this is our stand, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do. But they just feel that sometimes you carry a lot of money and you don't want to give it to them. And that's why in our workshop, we need to have some letter from our donors or whatsoever partner that, look, we're supposed to do this, but we can't do this. This is why we brought. We didn't bring physical cash. But it's difficult to understand. Once you see an NGO car standing there, they say, you brought a lot of money. But we encourage them and they continue to work along with us.
What are some of the techniques do you apply in getting there?
Well, you conduct a cluster meeting, you conduct meeting village on a village level, and you call them at a meeting that, look, we want to do this job for you, we want to bring pump. Or they will decide to say, yeah, we want a pump or we want a stream, and they will decide what they want. And then they also have to select where they want these things. We can go inside and say, yeah, we'll need a well here and a latrine. No, they also take part in formulating this project as we carry to them.
You see that Lifewater is achieving?
Oh, Lifewater have achieved a lot over the years. 200 wells is not an easy thing to do. 200 wells. February, you will be welcome. We invite you to our grand celebration. We are achieving. We are touching the lives of people that are not rich. Let me tell you, there are some big NGOs have not gone to some villages that we have been. We have a portable rig. We tow it on our shoulder and our head, and we take it to where people have not reached. Over the Monkey Bridge.
What is the size of your staff?
Ooh, 10. I have health and hygiene, the driller, office administrator, down to my sanitary engineer. 10.
But you're talking about working in so many counties now, and you only have 10 staff. Why is it so?
Oh, we have capacity. It's not the multitude of the people, but the willingness of people to do job. You can have 20,000 men doing nothing, but you can have 10 men doing something. We have achieved with the level of men, few men that we have. They have capacity. And Lifewater Canada have built the capacity over the years. Mission statement, health is wealth. service supplies overflow.
That's a mission statement.
That's my mission statement.
Have you achieved that?
Yeah, we are given the service that overflow. For instance, if I went in a village to do two wells, and I know there's a need, we would make it possible to help that other community. So it's service overflow. Not only with physical, but with the spiritual aspect, service overflow.
So Mr. Wolo, tell me anything from your mind again.
Well, we urge the people of this Liberia, to cooperate with our partners that come here to work to help us. Because I tell you, my brother, I have gone to every village and town in this country. There's need for safe drinking water. People are dying every day because of bad water. And since we have the partner, Life Water Canada, Life Water International, we're all riding around and do like James said, this is a sacrificial job we are doing because we are missionaries.
Mr. David Wolo is the project coordinator of Life Water Liberia, explaining how the program goes about working with rural communities. The program you are listening to is NGO Forum, a 25-minute radio program designed on Star Radio that highlights the activities of local and international NGOs in the country. We will now take a musical break and bring you a song by the late Dipa Nimle.
Zumba, 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 zumba,
Welcome back to NGO Forum on Star Radio, a 25-minute radio program designed to highlight the activities of local and international NGOs in the country. The Liberia Agency for Community Empowerment, LACE for short, is a non-governmental organization involved in community-driven development program. The program is a World Bank-sponsored project through the government of Liberia, and the program is presently operating in 11 counties. LACE Executive Director is Ramsey Kumbuya. Mr. Kumbuya has been explaining how the Liberia Agency for Community Empowerment was founded and its activities with community dwellers.
Well, the name speaks for itself. Agency for Community Empowerment and a Liberian-based non-governmental, not-for-profit organization. We started operation in 2004, July, to be specific, when the Ike was passed, creating the agency. In terms of effective work, it actually started in January 2005, when we started with the communities, going out there and assessing communities and helping to organize the community facilitators, then the communities themselves, then identifying projects. And then the ball started rolling from there. We've since been in the process as we speak. We are in about 80 communities effectively undertaking projects at different levels.
Could we just look at briefly your mission and your vision statements?
Our mission is to be able to reach the poorest of the poor in our midst in almost all parts of Liberia. We are striving very well to be able to achieve that. The poor, as we speak in Liberia, everybody can say they are poor. But for us, the poor are mainly people that live in the rural areas. And so our target beneficiaries and target communities are people that live in the rural areas under difficult conditions, and people that are desirous of wanting to improve their own lives, and therefore they will be willing to take on part of the work as we go along.
It's a project meeting two challenges, as you just stated.
The project is meeting the challenges, though all is not roses. So for some communities, they welcome the idea, and so they are playing their role. Our project is structured in a way that the funds that we receive from the World Bank to run these projects are supposed to fund 90% of the work, and the communities are expected to fund 10% of the work. The community portion is basically in the form of kind contribution. There are rags, there are sand, there are labor, their time, and the World Bank funds go into the actual payment for contractors, the actual work, the training of the PMCs, the payment of the community facilitators, every other thing that has to be done to actualize the project on the ground. But the community members must be there to provide ramp poles, to provide rugs, to help the contractor identify our place, provide the land, and you know, participate in the process, in the construction work, whatever activity they are involved with from start to finish. That is considered the community contribution, and it's costed, and the community is credited for that. Currently we are in 11 counties, so that is to say that we are not in four. And so maybe if I'm to name the ones that we are not in, that makes life easy. Basically to see that we are not in Grand Bassa, we are not in River Cess, we are not in Grand Cru, sorry, we're not in Grand Cru, and we're not in Maryland currently. But all the other counties, we are there in one way or the other.
In the 11 counties you are operating, what have been your engagement there with the communities, Ruela?
Our project is community driven, and the communities decide what they want. But it turns out that the community is wanting to reconstruct, rehabilitate, or construct those facilities that were there before the war, or those facilities that will enhance their lives. So we found them asking for schools, clinics, small bridges, market hall, water projects, latrine projects. Those are kind of things that we find the communities asking for, and we are helping them to be able to do those things.
Mr. Ramsey Komboya, Executive Director, the Liberia Agency for Community Empowerment, explaining how the project goes about engaging community dwellers. That's how we come to the end of this edition of NGO Forum on Star Radio. Join us next time for another edition of the program. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm your producer and presenter, Peter Fan. I'm gonna make you mine.